Today's shiur is dedicated by Jerry and Esther Williams. L'zecher Nishmas, Jerry's mother, Chava Besli Yehudis Bas Rav Yosef. By popular request, we're going to be doing Hilchas Sukkah again. It was Jake Sherman yesterday who suggested that we do sleeping in Sukkah. Is that correct? Right? It was your suggestion? Sleeping in the Sukkah. Okay. I'm going to try not to overlap too much with what Rabbi Balzam spoke about last night. Maybe get a little bit more detailed in terms of the Chacham Tzvi Avni Nezer. I made a comment yesterday when Jake suggested sleeping in the sukkah. I said, you have to do it. And, you know, as if, like, there's nothing to talk about. Then I started preparing the shiur, and there's a lot to talk about when it comes to sleeping in the sukkah. So we're probably not going to cover everything. Even the Mar Makomos are not nearly as thorough as I normally like to make Mar Makomos, just I didn't have that much time with building the sukkah and everything. But we're at least gonna scratch the surface a little bit of what the chiyuv is, what the various heterim possibly are, whether how the chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah impacts the kashrus of our sukkos in general, and impacts the mitzvah of achila b'sukkah. So let's start at the beginning. Shulchan Aruch Tofrei Shlamites Siv Beis Shulchan Aruch writes: Ochum v'shosum v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva. Eat, you drink, and sleep in the sukkah all 7 days, bein b'yom, bein b'layla, no matter even if it's a nap during the daytime, a snack during the daytime, you always, shouldn't say snack, eating during the daytime, nighttime, doesn't matter, you do it everything in the sukkah, ve'ein yeshenim chutz l'sukkah afilu shinas harai, as opposed to by eating, where you can eat an achilas harai outside of the sukkah, sleeping, even a little nap cannot be done outside of the sukkah. And the Shulchan Aruch himself says, avol mutzal achal achilas harai chutz l'sukkah. In that sense, sleeping is more strict than eating is. So the number one question that that right away pops into our minds when we see this halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, why does nobody do it? I'm told that Chabad Chasidim have a tradition that they don't sleep in Sukkah because they can't sleep in the presence of such Kedusha or something that if you're not a Chasid... What? No. They eat in the Sukkah even when it's raining, but they won't sleep in the Sukkah. So, that's what I'm told. I don't know. The reason that was given to me is something that I don't think I am capable of understanding, because I'm not a chassid, but whatever it is, there is a chiyuv. We can explain it later. There is a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. That's the halacha. The Rama right away deals with the fact that so many people don't, right? So the Rama living in Poland writes, the reason why we're making right now with nowadays with sleeping. So first he says she'en yishenim b'sukkah rak hamedakim mitzvos, because after all, who sleeps in the sukkah besides for the greatest tzaddikim of the time? Most people don't sleep in the sukkah. Yeshom remishum tzina. Some say it's because it's cold. It's cold in Poland in October. Diyesh tzar lishum b'mekomos hakarim, and it's a tremendous tzar to sleep in very cold places. Question, what level of tzina would it have to be to pati you from sleeping? So we already discussed this. What level of tzina? So it's very simple when it comes to these types of questions. What do you look at? If the heater was broken in my house, and it was this cold in my house, would I leave? Would I just put on a sweatshirt and go take an extra blanket? Or would I leave? Teishvu ke'im tadoru. So if you're going to say the patur is one of tsar, so if it's 50 degrees outside, would you leave your house if it were 50 degrees in your house? Maybe for each person it's different. Depends how much of a mafunuk you are. Depends how sensitive you are. But that's the gedder. That's always going to be the gedder. The only problem with the gedder is it dafka when you have another house in the neighborhood. Would you leave that house if you have... I would always leave if I had another house. If it was just a little uncomfortable, I'd leave if I have another house in the neighborhood. Or do you say, no, would I go through the tircha of finding a place to stay in terms of renting a hotel or renting a house or, you know, finding friends to stay at, something like that? So that's a little bit of a difficulty with that gedder. But the Rama says, Pashat, that's the reason why people don't sleep in sukkah, because it's too cold. And that obviously depends on the reality. Now, why is it that you can't even have a shina sarai in the sukkah? So the Gemara gives two reasons. By accident, they only included one of the Gemara's reasons in the Mar Makomos, but the Gemara says two possibilities. Rav Ashi says, we're afraid that a person is going to sleep shinas keva, because it's hard to know, it's hard to train yourself to wake up as soon as shinas arai is over. Right? If a shinas arai is defined as 5 minutes, it's hard to always wake up exactly 5 minutes later. Sometimes you put your head down for 5 minutes, and the next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. Right? So it's very difficult to really draw the line without falling into to a shinas keva. And the other one, the Gemara says that there's no such thing as shinas arai. In keva l'shina, there's no specific number that makes it a shinas keva versus a shinas arai. That by food, it's much more quantifiable. Whereas by sleep, it's not as quantifiable. Sometimes, the way the poskim quoted, sometimes a person will sleep very little and it will be a power nap, right? If you're very busy sometimes during finals, you'll know from such things soon, where you're extremely busy and you know you just need 30 seconds. And you know that it just gives you a lot of energy. And sometimes you go to sleep for 3 hours and you're still tired. So it's not there's no quantifiable amount. It's a shinus rever, shinus keva.
So that's
kishinus hasus, right? That's assuming that there's such a thing as shinus rever, shinus keva.
Right.
So those are the two deus, right? Is it what?
It's in the Gemara though that it says that there is a difference between keva and araida.
Right, but also the Gemara says that in keva l'shut, meaning that's two deus in the Gemara. Right, that's I think so, isn't it? I don't remember how the sugya plays out, but if I'm not mistaken, that's just two opinions of how it plays out. Now, there is a chiddush that I had never seen before, but I saw a brief discussion of it yesterday, or Tzvi Pesach Frank has in the Krei Kodesh, where he says that there's such a thing as something even less than a shinas arai, such a thing as just like mamash, you just doze like that for 2 seconds. That's even less than a shinas arai. And he wants to suggest, based on a prima gadim, that if it's less than the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amos, then it's not even a shinas arai, and then you're allowed to do that outside the sukkah. It's a phenomenal chiddush. He based it on a prima gadim that's not talking about hilchos sukkah. So it's a bit of a difficult tzushtel that he makes, but that's what Tzvi Pesach Frank tries to do. And he tries to bring a raya, an interesting raya, from the Balamar and Pesachim. The Balamar, at the end of Maseches Pesachim, it's a famous Balamar, source number 3, asks the question, why is it that throughout the entire Yom Tov of Pesach we eat matzah, and yet we only make a bracha of Al-Achilas Matzah the first night? Yet when it comes to Sukkah, we know this is Gzeres Shavat Tezvav Tezvav, so there is some connection between the mitzvah of eating in the Sukkah, or Yeshiva Sukkah, and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Yet when it comes to Sukkah, every single time we have a meal in the Sukkah, we invite to make a Leishiv of a Sukkah. Why don't you make a bracha every time you have matzah? Or why, right, they should conform with each other. Why is there a difference between the two of them? So says the Balamar, V'yesh lahashiv, l'fisha adam ragil b'shara yamim lamod, below achilas matzah, v'nizan ba'oriz v'dochen. You don't have to eat matzah the rest of the day. You can live without eating matzah. You can eat fruit, you can eat rice, you can eat, if you're Sephardic, you can eat fruity pebbles if you're Sephardic. You can eat, there are certain things that you can eat if that you can survive on. We call them peiros. Ma she'en kein b'sukkah, she'enu yachal lamod b'lishina shlosha yamin. When it comes to sukkah, you can't not sleep for 3 days. It's impossible for a person, the Gemara says, it's impossible for a person to go, right, the Gemara says that in regards to a neder, right, that you can't not sleep for 3 days. A person says he's not going to sleep for 3 days, he's taking a neder that's impossible. V'uchayiv lishon basukkah l'tayilba, and therefore, by definition, you have to sleep in the sukkah, v'tam nachonu. So says Tzvi Pesach Frank, this is a raya against this idea of the prima gadim, because it is possible to survive on very tiny drops of sleep here and there, on less than Ashinas Arai drops of sleep, on drops of sleep that are less than Kitei Hiluch Mea Amma. How do I know it's possible to survive based on that? That's the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Right, Rabbi Kamenetsky was just referring to. And what does the Gemara say about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So if you look in source number 7, the Mar Makomas are a little out of order. Right, the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Shulman Chanani, Kishayinu Smechem Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Reinu Shina Beineinu. We went the whole Yantif without sleeping. Ketzad, Shah, Rishon, Atam, Shal Shachar, Misham, Latvila, Misham, Lakar, Musab. It goes through the schedule of the day. It's like the Gemara earlier in Sukkah describes how the Anshi Yerushalayim, how what their schedule was throughout the day. Lulavayim Biyadayim, right? It describes how they would carry the lulav all day. And it would say, what does the Gemara say? That they went, Levakar Sachol, Lulavayim Biyadayim. They went to the base marriage, Lulavayim Biyadayim. They went here. Everything they go to is a mitzvah, right? It was everything. It just shows you about the Anshi Yerushalayim in general. It's trying to make the point that they always carried the lulav and esrog. Salvechik, Rav Shefti used to say that Rav Salvechik commented on that Gemara. And it's not just stam that carrying a lulav in your hand is a nice idea. It says there has to be a kiyum. There's no such thing as a nice idea in Judaism. If there's no kiyum, then it's not a nice idea. There's got to be some kiyum of something. So there's got to be an extra kiyum mitzvah every second carry lulav. But that's beside the point. So the Gemara says that the whole day they were so busy with the mitzvah, they had the Tamar Shal Shachar, they had tefillah, Kabra Musaf, tefillah Sam Musafin, Beis Medrash, Achila, Shtia, tefillah Smincha, Tamar Shal Bein Arbayim, and then it's nighttime, and what do they do all night? Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So who had time to sleep? They were so busy with all the mitzvahs that they had no time to sleep. So, frankly, Gemara, Eini, If a person takes a shvur that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so you don't have to wait the 3 days, you can just give him malchus right now because you know he's going to be sleeping within the next 3 days, and just tell him to take a nap already because it doesn't matter. You know for sure he's going to have to sleep if he's going to survive the next 3 days. So says the Gemara, how could you say they didn't sleep for a whole week? Ella hachikamar lo ta'amnu tamshina. They didn't get a geshmak asleep. Why? When would they sleep? As they were dancing in the circle, you know, with the Ravarilus Chasidim, you know, they would just be squeezed in so tight, they would just like rest their head on the shoulder of the guy in front of them until the guy realizes, like, you know, get off me. But they would just, they would rest their head for just a few minutes, and they would, a few seconds, and they would sleep. If there's anything less than a Shina Sarai, that's it. Right? And yet, we see that you can survive on it, right? Person's able to live with that. How could the Baal HaMaor say that you can't live outside of a sukkah because you vaday have to sleep at some point? You could live on that kind of sleep. If you were putter from that kind of sleep, if that kind of sleep was putter from being in the sukkah, you didn't have to be in the sukkah, then the Baal HaMaor's raya is not a raya. Right? Baal HaMaor is saying, the reason you make a bracha is because you can't live, you can't survive 3 days without sleeping. You can survive with that kind of sleep. So it must be that there is no such geder, there's no such thing as less than a Shina Sarai. No matter how small the sleep is, it has to be in the sukkah. Of course, just the Gemara itself seems like a raya the other way. Right? That's what you think. The Gemara itself seems like a raya the other way. They were doing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? And they were sleeping on each other's shoulders. So isn't that a raya that there is something that either you're putting from sukkah? I don't think it's a raya. Why is it not a raya? No, you tell me why that's a better. What?
They were not in the
Sukkah. But they're
sleeping. They were sleeping.
Sukkah's David. It's the Sukkah's David on the fellas. Yeah.
They were sleeping on each other's shoulders. I mean, in the Gemara it says that, oh, maybe you'll fall into a deep sleep, but if they're sleeping on each other, then you're not going
to. Let's assume like the other day, in Kevlishi. I still think it's not a riot, because Holchi Mitzvah, Peturimin HaSukkah, that was last week's year, right? If you're Osik in another Mitzvah, so they're Osik in the Mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Mustam and the Pata from Sukkah. It's counterintuitive to us, because when we do Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's in the Sukkah. Right? But that, Lechora, it's not a Raya at all, just because they were Pata. But anyway, but the Raya against, meaning the Raya from the Baal HaMaor against this idea of a very tiny amount of sleep seems to be, it's at least an interesting Raya. And in the footnotes in the Makrei Kodesh, in the Harei Kodesh on the bottom, he suggests that maybe, even if there is a Chiv to sleep less than a Shina Sarai in the sukkah, even that may only be midrabanan. And he has a raya from a tashbeit. I don't really want to get into that. I want to get on to other topics. Second issue, what type of sukkah, in what sense does the chiv to sleep in the sukkah impact the type of sukkah we're allowed to use? So the Rama writes, now let's say your sukkah is tiny. What's the minimum shear of a sukkah? Zayin al zayin tfachim, right? You need Rosh of Ruba v'shulchano. Rosh of Ruba v'shulchano, how? Lying down? So we're assuming a person is a square, right? Zayin al zayin. Person is vav al vav tvachim, and the table somehow covers one tefach on each side of him and makes it zayin al zayin tvachim. So a person is definitely not a square when they're lying down. Usually you're not a square when you're sitting up straight. You got to be leaning a little bit. Even that, whatever. But, you know, to get zayin al zayin, we're certainly not assuming zayin al zayin tvachim is a person, the size of a person lying down. It's the size of a person sitting up, right? And yet, that's the minimum shear of a sukkah. So, are you chayiv to sleep in such a sukkah? You built a sukkah, Zayin al Zayin Tefachim, one of those pop-up sukkahs. You can't lie down in it. So are you chayiv to, if that's your sukkah, are you chayiv to sleep in the sukkah? So the Rama has what really sounds like a chiddush. If you look in source number 8, Mi shelo yuchal lishon v'sukkah, machma shetzar lo b'pishut yada v'raglav. There's simply not enough room to stretch. You can't stretch out your hands and your legs. Lo mikri mitzta'ir, too bad. That's not called tsar. If you got to get in the fetal position, get in the fetal position. That's what you got to do. You have to squeeze up and get into that sukkah. It's a very difficult var to understand because, after all, mitztayer on every other level is pata from sukkah. And yet, this kind of mitztayer, where you're going to have to sleep in the fetal position, that's okay. That we say, okay, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. So this wasn't accepted by everybody. Mishnah Berurah already quotes that Chacham Tzvi, and if you look in the Tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi again, there's going to be a little overlap now because I know Rabbi Balzman quoted this Chacham Tzvi yesterday. But the Chacham Tzvi, the Ramah got this from Mordechai. It's from his Deshan from the Mordechai, from the Ramagar of Truma Sedeshen from the Mordechai. So Chacham Tzvi disagrees with the Truma Sedeshen that the Ramah is quoting, and he says, the Truma Sedeshen is right from Mordechai. So Chacham Tzvi says, so Mordechai needs a raya for himself. I think Mordechai is wrong also. Why is he wrong? So if you look in Source Amunah, about the fourth line, primarily it's about something else. Just these few lines over here, he focuses on this particular issue. Ubahachi azla chachas harav trumas adashen, demisheinu yachal lishon bepishut yadav aragel v'dolavim etztar v'chayev lishon ba. How does the Trumas Sedeshen prove it? The Ramah just says it. What's the raya for the Trumas Sedeshen? V'kamucha chlami shir sukkah shu zayin tfachim. If the shir sukkah is zayin tfachim, so it must be that you have to figure out a way to sleep in the sukkah, even though it's only zayin tfachim. And I don't care how you sleep, you're not pater. Umedivrei Mordechai anal, be'emes hadavar tumua ma'od. But says Chacham Tzvi, that's very strange. V'achush mochiach de'ein l'cha tzar gadol mizeh. Is there a greater tzar than having to sleep like that? Says the Chacham Tzvi, look, I'm sure the best thing to do is certainly to build a sukkah that's a little bit bigger so that you won't have to rely on the mitzvah element to get yourself out of sleeping in the sukkah. But it's yantiv. Sukkah's already built. Sukkah's tiny. Or the piece of real estate that you own on which you can build a sukkah is Zayin al Zayin Tvachim. So you don't have the opportunity to build a larger sukkah. With mechila of the Truma Sedeshen, it seems to me, you don't have to do that. You don't have to sleep in such a way in a fetal position, kedarko kalashana, without sleeping in a normal way like you would the whole year. Uklal gadol amru, teishvu ke'ein taduru. Says the Chacham Tzvi, which part don't you understand? Teishvu ke'ein taduru. You live in the sukkah the way you live in your house. If you can't, you're pater. The kimin should be dirasa vade in adam yashin baofen zeh. Af pasukah inu chayv lishon babzeh aofen. Va'odam rudu b'shina afilu gesham'im kol shu'avit tzar liftar. And by sleeping, even a tiny drop of rain is enough tzar to pater you. So sleeping like that in such a position is not enough tzar to pater you. So Chacham Tzvi says for sure against the Ramah, that the Ramah is incorrect. Davnei Nezer defends the Ramah. Min Chacham Tzvi has a raya, right? His raya is the shir sukkah shivat tfachim. So the Gemara obviously, the Ramah's raya is that the shir sukkah is shivat tfachim. So the Chacham Tzvi says it's not a raya, shir sukkah is shivat tfachim, if you're going to eat in the sukkah. But for sleeping in the sukkah, Nebuch, if you're stuck with the sukkah of Zayin Tvachim, so then you don't sleep, because then you're going to be pater from sukkah. It's simply Teishu came to Duru. The Avnei Nezer responds, and again, the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer is primarily about something else, but at the very end of the tshuva, he points out the following. If you look at the very end of source number 10, Va'od raya mukhrachas tashir sukkah shiva gam lishon kitchuma sedeshan anal. He says, I'll prove to you that the Truma Sedeshen is right. That the shear of Zayin al Zayin Tvachim is the shear of a sukkah that you need to sleep in also. Shem Refurish Reish Sukkah, the Hadashir Sukkah Shiva Beishamayi. Beishamayhu. Who's the one that says you need Zayin al Zayin Tvachim? It's Shitas Beishamay. Right? That's the Machlok. Zimkena Sisal Kiamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. That's Sukkah Dav Gimel. Right? With that Tosfos. The shear of Sukkah is Beishamay, of seven Tvachim is Beishamay. Vine Beishmaita the Sukkah Yeshana, Mufurish to Beishamay Sphere, Lukrab Lazar, Deinos and Sukkah Becholo Shalowe. In the sugi of Sukkah Yeshana, Beishamay holds like Rabbi Lazar holds like Beishamay, that you're not allowed to make a new sukkah on Chol HaMoed. What's Rabbi Lazar's shita? That you need the same sukkah for the entire Yom Tov. You can't go misukkah to sukkah. You have to be in the same sukkah all 14 meals, Rabbi Lazar says in the Mishnah Sukkah. You need to eat all 14 meals in a single sukkah. You can't go from one sukkah to another sukkah. It's got to be the same sukkah the whole time. And that's why you can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, because what's it going to help you? You can't go back in time. Right, you already had some meals in a different sukkah. Uperka Yashin, Rav Lazar Amar, Ein Yotz Misukkah Sukkah Veinos and Sukkah B'Chol HaMoed. Disfir Leitasa L'cha Shivas Yamim, Asay Sukkah L'Shivas Yamim. It has to be the same sukkah for all 7 days. V'Cham Sfir Lu Yotz Misukkah L'Sukkah. Thank God we don't pass in that way. That's why if you're invited out for a meal in sukkahs, you can go, as long as the people you're going to eat in the sukkah and serve kosher food. Right, you can go. So va'osin sukkah b'chol amoy disfir lu hachikam rachmana asay sukkah b'chag. No, all it's saying is you should make a sukkah on yantif. You should have a sukkah on yantif, but now they have to be there all 7 days. But according to Beis Shammai, memela the Beis Shammai disfir leinosin sukkah b'chol amoy disfir lenami and yotz misukkah l'sukkah. So he says, put two and two together for a second. If the minimum shir of a sukkah is zayin al zayin, and you need to be in the same sukkah the entire yantif, he can't be assuming that you have one sukkah for eating and another sukkah for sleeping, because you're not allowed to do that. You have to have the same sukkah the entire yantif. So what, you're allowed to build a sukkah where you know that you're for sure not going to be able to sleep in a sukkah no matter what, because that's the only sukkah I have? It can't be. Elamai, it must be that when you build a sukkah zayin al zayin tefachim, that's your sukkah, and that's it. There's no sleeping anywhere else. So it must be that the shear of zayin al zayin is even for sleeping. That's Avnei Nezer Zraya. So if it's going to be a little uncomfortable, it's going to be a little tight, so be it. That's the way it's going to work. Now there's a line in the Mishnah Brura that also stirs up a little bit of controversy. Mishnah Brura has a line where he says that he talks about not having, you know, having to squeeze into the sukkah on this halacha of the Ramah, that you got to squeeze into the sukkah. He says, "V'chayiv lishon shav va'af shetzarich lizar shia shulchan gamkin b'tocha sukkah." Mishnah Brura says, "Yeah, you got to squeeze yourself into the sukkah, and you got to make sure your table's in there also while you're sleeping." Now, where does that come from? Why does the table need to be in the sukkah while you're sleeping? Neichet says that there's such a requirement. So obviously what he's alluding to, what he seems to be alluding to, when you read it quickly at least, is that a sukkah needs to be ra'i for everything. That a sukkah has to be ra'i for both eating and sleeping. And if the table's not there, it's not ra'i for eating. But is there such a halacha that you need to keep a bed there when you eat? Meaning, does a sukkah have to be ra'i for everything at all times? Or it just has to be a place, you know, like in some small apartments in Manhattan, even very expensive apartments, but if they're small, they have those beds that go up into the wall. Right? So you can't sleep on the beds like that. So, but you live like that in a house. So who says that you need to have all the accoutrements that you would need to eat and sleep in the sukkah at all times? Mechi tasted that there's such a chiyuv. Mishnah Brura seems to invent this incredible chumrah. So Magen Avraham says that it's okay. Now you can remove, right? You can remove the table and still sleep in the sukkah, unless the Mishnah Brura is maybe based on something else. Where do we find such a concept that it's critical to have a table in the sukkah? What's the chashash? What does the Gemara say? We're afraid that if Rosh Avruba b'sukkaso, the Shulchan b'sukkabayis, even if the sukkah is very large, you just happen to have a sukkah that borders on your dining room or your kitchen, and the shulchan's in the house and you're in the sukkah. You have plenty of space behind you in the sukkah, but your Rosh Avruba in the sukkah, your shulchan's in the house, and you're going to eat off a plate that's in the house, right? So the Gemara says, we're afraid, Shemi Yimashaych Achar Shulchano. Then maybe you'll end up wherever your table is. So maybe that's what the Mishnah Brura is based on, that a table is a big deal. You can't leave a table outside of the sukkah because you're always going to end up where your table is. But that's, while you're eating, the table is a big deal. It's hard to say that while you're sleeping, Shemi Yimashaych Achar Shulchano. Oh, for a midnight snack? Like, what are we worried about? It's a very difficult chumrah of the Mishnah Brura. In fact, if you look at Tzitz Eliezer, source number 13, you know, he writes strongly sometimes. Tzitz Eliezer was known to have written a little too strongly sometimes about, you know, previous poskim. So the way he writes about this is Uleda'ati hutoz godo lomar b'chizos. Terrible mistake to say something like this. Ubarra davar shel gaveshina in kol kpeda b'nogei al shulchan. It's pashut ubarra that there's no reason you need a table in the sukkah when you sleep. Im yeh b'tocha sukkah mechutzala. The gaveshina lo shayich klal lachos l'sham yimashich achos shulchano. What's the Mishnah Brura worried about? You're going to end up where your table is when you're sleeping? V'zesh amar Mishnah Brura, a little bit weiter. Ach shetarach lizar shi ha-shulchan gam kem b'tocha sukkah. He says, the Mishnah Brura is not wrong. He didn't mean it. Says Kavanasu b'zeh lahaskir raka tenaya achrechi sheyishnu b'sukkah tzara kazos v'hashurik v'hashayich l'shas achila. Meaning, Mishnah Brura, when he says that line, he's going back on the achila. He's saying you always need to eat and sleep in the sukkah, and the table needs to be in the sukkah. It's not really going on the sleeping; it's going back on the eating. It's hard to read it back into the Mishnah Brura. The only thing is, you have to keep in mind the Mishnah Brura is a compilation. Mishnah Brura very rarely writes his own. He's always quoting from earlier poskim. He's quoting from the Prima Gadim and from the Eliyahu Rabba and from all the classical poskim. So Tzitz Eliezer just did a very simple thing. He opened up a Prima Gadim where the Mishnah Brura was quoting from, and the Prima Gadim is beferish like that. In Prima Gadim is beferish that it said when the Prima Gadim refers to having the table inside the sukkah, it's beferish that he was referring to Shas Achila. That he says you need to eat and you need to sleep in the sukkah, and the sukkah should be one that you can eat and sleep in, and if it's Zayin Tefachim, that's enough for eating and sleeping, and you need to have your table in the sukkah too. But the Prima Gadim makes it clear that when he says you need to have the table in the Sukkah too, it was talking about the Shas Achila. Because it doesn't make sense to be talking about the time of sleeping. It's a good Musar of how to learn Mishnah Berurah. If you see something that doesn't make sense, a lot of times, just go back. Now, he worked very hard in editing it and making it all make sense and making you be able to understand just by reading it, but, you know, every once in a while, it's kedai to take a step back and look at the original Makaros. But what about a Sukkah that, for whatever reason, it's impossible to sleep in? The Ramah in Tafresh Mem, Sif Dalid, you look in source number 15, the Ramah writes, just by the way, one more thing. Rav Vadia writes in Chazon Avadia that it was known that the minhag of the Mishnah Berurah was to keep his table in the sukkah when he slept in the sukkah. So as much as you want to say pshat, Rav Vadia says, but he actually did this. He kept his table in while he slept, not just while he ate. But Rav Vadia says you have to just say it was a midas chasidus, that he doesn't know that's what you really have to do. Some sort of midas chasidus that he had to keep it in the sukkah. But it's not really necessary if there's no room for it. But anyway, the Ramah, moving on to the next thing, the Ramah writes, if you make a sukkah that's in a place that you can't do one of the primary things that you need to do in the sukkah, eating, drinking, sleeping, for whatever reason, one of those things is impossible in the sukkah. Let's say I'm not afraid of the bad neighborhood when I'm eating because I'm awake. So I have my handgun. I'll be able to protect myself. I don't actually have a handgun, but whatever, I'll be able to protect myself while I'm in the sukkah. But when I'm sleeping, I'm not going to be able to protect myself, so I'm worried, I'm scared. Right, that's why I mentioned last week, Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he lived in the Lower East Side, it was terrifying. You couldn't sleep in a sukkah in the Lower East Side. So that's a big shaila. Is it a kosher sukkah? So Rabbi Balzum told me this week that he spoke to someone, a family, like a modern family, who said that they remember that when Rav Moshe used to sleep in the sukkah in the Lower East Side, they used to stand guard all night. Unbeknownst to him, they would just stand back because they were terrified for him. A little old rabbi sleeping in the sukkah, they were terrified what's going to happen to him. So they used to stand guard by the door of the sukkah. So maybe if you have guards, it's called that it's okay, then it is Roy Lashim. But the way I heard it, the way the Tendlers told me, was that he couldn't sleep in the sukkah on the Lower East Side. What's the teretz? He probably didn't tell them. He didn't tell his kids that he risked his life to sleep in the sukkah. So when they invited him for Yantiv, they made the retractable roof over the dining room so that he could be comfortable in a sukkah, even when he was well into his 80s, that he should be able to sleep in the sukkah. But anyway, what does Ramah say? So if it's in a place where you're terrified because of the ganavim and the list and whatever, ain yotzebel sukkah klal, you can't even eat in that sukkah. If it's not roi for both, if it's not roi for sleeping and eating, it's roi for nothing. Even if it's not tzar for you to eat there, definition of a dira, something you could do anything in. You can eat, you can sleep, you can relax. That's what a dira is. And if you can't eat and sleep in it, so it's not a dira, merely you're not allowed to use that sukkah. Now that's where the Chacham Tzvi got really upset. That's the ikar I mentioned before when we quoted the Chacham Tzvi. What his problem was, what is the topic of his tshuva is, this was really the topic of his tshuva. The topic of his tshuva wasn't so much about whether you're mechuyev to be uncomfortable with Zayin al Zayin. The topic of his tshuva was about this. If a sukkah is not ra'uy for sleeping, can you eat in it? That was his real issue. Now, what are his rayas? And he disagrees with the Ramah vehemently. And he has a few rayas, three basic rayas. Right? Balsam said he didn't go through the rayas, right? So three basic rayas. We're not going to read them all inside because we're going to run out of time and not cover anything if we read everything inside. But three basic rayas Chacham Tzvi has. Raya number one is, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva made a sukkah on a boat, even though there was a Ruach Metzuyah Shem, and the Ruach Metzuyah was able to be oker the sukkah. So Vadai, if the wind is so bad that it could blow away the sukkah, that's Vadai, not a sukkah that you're able to sleep in. And yet, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva was still worried about, would still build a sukkah on the boat, even though, in order to eat in it, apparently, even though he obviously couldn't sleep in it. Because he says, Davar Pashut, that if it's that windy, you can't sleep. Such a Davar Pashut, you can't sleep once it blows away, maybe. Well, it's still there. You could probably sleep in it. It's blocking the wind as long as it's there. It's going to slam into you. I don't know, is it dangerous? Maybe it's dangerous to sleep in such a sukkah. I don't know, that's Raya number one. Raya number two, he says, is that the whole machlokas about the shir sukkah is about this. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Is the minimum size of a sukkah Zayin al Zayin or Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos? What do we know about Dalet Amos? Most of the things, well, the shir komish al adam, the height of a person, is we assume 3 amos. Really? Is the height of a person 3 amos or the height of a person 4 amos? An amos here to here. This times 3. the shortest amongst us is taller than that, right? And in Bava Basra, Bava Basra, the beginning of Bava Basra, right? So what do we have? Tafyomi people also. Beginning of Bava Basra, what do we have? Hezek Re'iyah. So how big does the fence have to be? 4 amos. But if a person is only 3 amos tall, if a fence is up to here on me, I won't be able to see over it. Right? So where did I get this idea? Kumasu Shaladam is 3 amos? Because it's by mikvaos, right? That's what we assume. What's the size, minimum size of a mikvah? 40 sa. Why? Because an amah by 3 amos is 40 sa of water. And that's the size of a person. So Tosos points out in several places in Shas that a person is more than 3 amos. That when we talk about a mikvah, amah by 3 amos of water is enough. Why? Because when you go into it, the water rises. And then the water will go up to height of 4 amos, which is how tall a person really is. So kumasu shaladim is 3 amos means to your shoulder. There's another amma from your shoulder up, right? So dalad amos says the Chacham Tzvi, doesn't spell all this out that I just said, but says the Chacham Tzvi, probably dalad amos represents what? A person lying down, right? And that was really the machlokas in the Gemara. Is Zayin al Zayin Tfachim, do you need a sheer sukkah that's big enough to eat in? And that's why Zayin al Zayin is not just the size of a person, but what is it? Rosh of Verubo? Vishulchano. Meaning it's all about eating. Or do you need a sheer sukkah, the minimum sheer sukkah that's going to be kasher, is dalar al dalar amos. Because the sukkah has to be one that's ro'i to sleep in. But he says, Davar Pashat, Zayin al Zayin Tfachim is not ro'i to sleep in. And what are we paskin? Zayin al Zayin Tfachim. Apparently, if it's roi to eat in, even though it's not roi to sleep in, it's kosher. Kosher to eat in. And that's fine. So find somewhere else to sleep. Or if that's the only thing you have, you're pata from sleeping. Right? But it's kosher. That's his raya number two. Raya number three that he suggests is the Gemara says, Kol ha'ezrach melamit shekol yisrael yotzim b'sukkah echad. That the whole entire Jewish people could be in one sukkah. And Rashi says, how could all of Klal Yisrael ever fit in one sukkah? How enormous is that sukkah? So Rashi says, they take turns. It's like by the Karm Pesach, right, with the rooftops. They would take turns in sitting in the sukkah. He says, and there's no doubt that by a meal it makes sense. Lunchtime, we had this problem in DRS now, that we have Knanar, so many boys, that the lunchroom doesn't fit everybody. Right? So they were thinking about, have lunchtime for the freshmen and sophomores, 12 to 12:40, and lunchtime for the juniors and seniors, 12:40 to, you can take turns, it makes sense to take turns. However, he says, le'inyun shina, when it comes to sleeping, since the Iker mitzvah is ish v'ishto, the Iker, which we're going to get to in a second also, it's a good segue, the Iker mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah is a guy goes with his wife to sleep in the sukkah. So can you imagine such a thing? In a single sukkah, everybody's going to come in with their wives? Right? Multiple people. So what? It's going to be, you take turns as couples, then Klal Yisrael is never going to get there. Right? You're never going to get all of Klal Yisrael in a single sukkah. No one, you'll never have enough people taking turns. So he says it must be that the whole thing of the sukkah that fits all of Klal Yisrael is only for eating, because it's the only way it can make sense. You can't have multiple people with their wives sleeping in the same place. It says, so you put up a mechitza, right? And guess what a mechitza does? It makes it a second sukkah. Right? They're two separate sukkahs. Mechitza, what defines a sukkah? The mechitzos and the schach on top of it. If I have two, you know, conjoining sukkahs, they're two sukkahs. It's not one sukkah. So then it's not kol yisrael yoshev b'sukkah achas. It could be. You know, what's he saying about man and wife? So what? So a lot of people sleeping together, you know, B'nai Akiva style from what I hear, right? Everyone just hangs out and goes to sleep in the same general vicinity. That's totally tsnua, right? There's no problem with that. So what's the big deal? In fact, you read tshuvas of, the Gemara talks about, you know, someone was bowl, a guy, and he thought it was his wife, and it turned out it was his sister or whatever, right? Things like that. How do you make that mistake? It's because a house was a room. And that's just the way people lived. It was a room. Now, the Vida has chuvas like that, where a guy wasn't sure who he slept with because they were all sleeping in the same room. It was like one big community room. Okay, so it was dark. They waited until the people went to sleep. Whatever it was. I don't know how they figured it out, how they worked it out. So, okay, but that's his right. He's just impossible. It can't be that everyone's going to be sleeping in the same place. Yeah.
Can you also say there's no concept of shifts by seats? It's like whether or not you sleep like from like 12 in the afternoon to like, yeah, would they do that? Like, I assume there's only time to sleep.
Why wouldn't there be a shift? Yeah, you could have a shift.
Because
I mean, I would understand more about eating that, like people can just eat like not under normal.
I was in Carnaby Avenue. There's a guy who gave away his bed, and he would sleep from after Vasik until lunchtime, and the other guy slept in his bed with. The yeshiva had enough beds, it was just crazy. Yeah.
What's
the
referring to?
Like, what?
I missed it. What's
this
big sukkah?
Oh, no, the Gemara. There's a Gemara that says a Kol Yisrael can be Yoshe B'Sukkah Echad. Where exactly is the Gemara? The Gemara says, ruin Kol Yisrael to be Yoshe B'Sukkah Echad. It's a Gemara in Sukkah. I just quoted in Shabbat Shuvah. Mazel, you remember I quoted this Gemara in Shabbat Shuvah, didn't I? Kol Yisrael Yoshe B'Sukkah Echad. I did, at the very end, that the Gemara says, in contrast to Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the mitzvah of Sukkah to the Goyim, because they complain that they didn't have a chance, and he gives them a second chance, so it says, Kol Echad Ve'Echad goes and builds a Sukkah. So just the Ha'ara was, that it says over there, Kol Echad Ve'Echad goes and builds a Sukkah. And that's why they get frustrated with the mitzvah and they leave and whatever. In Echonamik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it freezing cold, we'd be pater too. No, but the problem was Kol Echad Ve'Echad went. Whereas by Klal Yisrael, we have a concept that Kol Yisrael is Yoshe B'Sukkah Echad. It's a sense of Achdus, a sense of togetherness. Okay, it's just a stamavar. But that's that Gemara. I don't remember exactly where it is. Chav Zayin? I don't remember exactly where the Gemara is. But yeah, it's a Gemara in Sukkah. Okay. The Avnei Nezer rejects these arguments of the Chacham Tzvi also. Avnei Nezer is not so thrilled with these arguments. And he goes through one by one. He says, let's see. So first he says, there's nothing in Rashi against the Chacham Tzvi. Why? It's interesting. The Shoel to the Avnei Nezer pointed out this Rashi. The Avnei Nezer says, yeah, I just checked in my Chacham Tzvi. I had in the margin. I wrote that Rashi down also. Yeah, that Rashi is taka against this Chacham Tzvi. Why? What does Rashi say? It says, Ukvodo, if you look down two lines on the bottom of the page in 10, Ukvodo kasa dimidivri Rashi gabi eni yichol lekabel karmu ksasos shel elyona tachtona kshera. Right, the Gemara says, if you have sukkah, al gabi sukkah. And the top sukkah is unable to have the linens that you need to go to sleep, so then the bottom sukkah is kasher, because it's not a sukkah al gabi sukkah, because the top sukkah is pasul if you're unable to have the linens that you can sleep in. Noosa, what's the raya? Think for a second. I can't sleep there, but what can I do in the top sukkah? I can eat there. But the Gemara says it's sukkah pasula. And because it's sukkah pasula, the one underneath it is kasher. So it's not even just a chumrah, it's a kula. We're relying on this lakula, that if you can't sleep in it, pasul. And we rely on that lakula to make the sukkah underneath it kasher. It's a stark raya, no? From Rashi. So he says that's a good raya. Then he quotes another raya from Ramban. That he quotes from the Ramban, Parakama de Sukkah, Bedin Sukkah Ktana de Kol Shein Ruil Achila Kadarko, the Kol Milit Sukkah, Ena Sukkah, Psula Af, Lishan Lushanin. That any Sukkah you can't, the Ramban has such a lashon, any Sukkah you can't do any of the things that you're supposed to do. So basically, Ramban just repeats, says exactly what the Ramah quotes from the Mordechai and the Trumas Hadeshen. So that's an even clearer raya against the Chacham Tzvi. It's interesting, there's a Tshuva Sefer called Charles Tshuva's Eretz Tzvi. Not to be confused with Eretz Hatzvi. Right? The Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi is the Kazhik Glover Gaon, who I believe was the Talmud of the Sukkotrav, was the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So his name was Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. So in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, he wants to taina that there's Tzvei Dinim in Sukkah. That there's a din of Teshuva Kentaduru, where you need to be able to do everything. And then there's a din of Tezvav Tezvav. And he says, even if you can't sleep in it, so it's possible midin teshuva kein taduru, but midin tezvav, you'd still get a partial kiyuma mitzvah. So he wants to say, I mean, what's he struggling with? If it's true, if the Ramah is right, that any sukkah you can't sleep in is automatically possible, then it would possible every, like most sukkahs in history, because there were a lot of times where Jews were living in either dangerous areas or freezing cold areas where they couldn't possibly sleep in there, and yet they always ate in the sukkah and they made a bracha on it. So they ate, as a chumrah, just to keep the memory alive of what it is, like the Gemara says by Dalad Minim, when they didn't have some of the Minim, right? Just to remember that there's such a concept. But they made a bracha, right? They made a bracha also. So he suggests that, no, they were able to make a bracha on that partial kiyum. That's the way all of his tshuvas are, with a chiddush like that. Out of nowhere. That there's such a separate din, that Tezvav doesn't have to fit into the Geder of Teshuva Kentaduru. The topic of the Tshuva is something totally different. The topic of the Tshuva is about Yeshiva Pesukah B'Shmini Atzeres. But he just happens to mention that in passing. Okay, what about making a bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah? Meaning, if primarily what we do in the Sukkah is we eat in the Sukkah and we sleep in the Sukkah, so l'chora, we should make a bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah, just so we can make a bracha on eating in the Sukkah. So the Balamar says, the reason we make a bracha every day when we eat in the sukkah is because what? You can't go 3 days without sleeping. You can for sure go 3 days without eating in the sukkah, just eat things that you don't need to eat in the sukkah. But he says, because you can't go 3 days without sleeping, so we know you have to live in the sukkah, mainly you make a bracha on living in the sukkah every time you go. But then why don't you make the bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? So this is already a discussion in the Rishonim. Tosfos and Brachos asked the Kasha. He says, why don't we make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, he says, first answer, if you want to see it inside, it's source number four, it's all the way at the beginning of the packet, totally out of order. First answer, he says, bracha da'achilish and bracha neshiv potartav. Once you made a bracha on the achila, so you go to sleep after you eat. So the bracha on the achila already covers it. Yuj nafkamina lahalacha. If you didn't eat in the sukkah, then l'chor according to Tosfos, you should make a bracha on eating in the sukkah according to that first answer. Second answer of Tosfos, inami mishum shema lo yishan vavi bracha levatala shari in v'yod alishan kol shashi yirtza. Not everyone can fall asleep when they want to. Some people, as soon as head hits the pillow, boom. Other people could be twisting and turning all night or whatever, and they can't always fall asleep. So since not everyone can fall asleep when they want to, so you have to be choshesh. You make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah, and then you're not going to fall asleep. So you have to ask yourself, and what if you don't fall asleep? Does it become a bracha levatala? Is it a bracha on sleep? I mean, the bracha would still be leisha of a sukkah. So whatever you're doing in your house, the twisting and turning you're doing in your house, you're twisting and turning in the sukkah. Difficult answer to understand. Is he nervous that you're not going to... So what must he be saying? Not just stam, they can be twisting and turning all night in the sukkah. If you're twisting and turning all night in the sukkah, it's a day. So make a leishav. It's that you're going to, because you're twisting and turning all night in the sukkah, you're going to leave the sukkah and try to find somewhere more comfortable. And then you're going to end up not being in the sukkah. Then it's going to be brach levatal. So that's Tos' second answer. The achronim in the back of the Gemara in Brachos, if I'm not mistaken, in the back of the Gemara in Brachos, right there on the spot, says it can't be that there's such a concern that you might not fall asleep. Because we have a bracha that we make every night on sleep. You make a bracha of hamapil. The Gemara says you make a bracha of b'shemu malchus of hamapil chavle shena. And the post can point out, and Mishabru says you should try not to talk after hamapil because it's on the sleep. You don't want to be mafsik between the sleeping and the hamapil. If the fear that we couldn't fall asleep would discourage a bracha, then we should never make hamapil. Right? So the simple answer is big difference. When it's like Kiras Dovermin HaTorah Lagamri. It's like the Taz that we discussed 1,000 times already. And when it comes to when the bracha would be Ne'akar Lagamri because of this concern, you're not going to be Oker a bracha Lagamri. When you're going to be Oker a bracha on certain occasions because of this concern, so you'll be Oker the bracha on certain occasions. What do I mean? If you were to say the fear of not being able to fall asleep should be enough to be Oker Amapil, you would never ever say Amapil. It would be just take the Takaras Chazal of Amapil and throw it out the window. By not having a bracha on sleeping on the sukkah, it doesn't get rid of the bracha of leish of a sukkah. You still have makom to say the bracha of leish of a sukkah whenever you eat in the sukkah. That's what I would have answered. But that's not what the achronim answered. So the achronim say, they say a little bit, you got a question? Before
going? Do we always say that something is the first in Torah? It's a bracha on...
Right, I'm just using it as a mashal. Right, the bracha is not the first in Torah. The answer that the achronim give, Maritz Chayus on the page, and other achronim as well, and all the like very recent tshuva svarim, right, like this also, is that the bracha of hamapil is not a birchas mitzvah. It's not a birchas nenin either. I mean, it's not a bracha on sleep. When can't you have a hefsik? By birchas mitzvah, you need over l'asyalson miyad. By birchas nenin, you make a bracha bar pri eitz, miyad, you got it right away, take the first bite of the apple. But birchas shevach v'odah, there's no problem of a hefsik. And the bracha of hamapil is not a bracha on the hana'a of sleep. It's a birchas shevach v'adah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating such a gevaldik thing called sleep. And really, you could say it any time. It's just the most appropriate time. The time that makes the most sense to say it is right before you go to sleep. Because that's just, in general, by birchas shevach, when do we reserve them for? For right after we experience such a shevach, right? Right around the time we experience such a shevach. Problem is, why don't you make it when you wake up? Okay, kasha. Yeah. Ah, so that's what they all say, you can. So you only shouldn't do things that are like major kavua. But to stop, talk a little, there's nothing wrong with it. So that's what I'm saying. It's against the Mishnah Berurah, but that's what Vadya writes in the Tshuva and the Tzitz Eliezer, all the late Achronim. You know, the Tzitz Eliezer writes in the Tshuva and the Debret Sina writes in the Tshuva. They all say this. They all say, yeah, you're allowed to talk, there's no problem. What? I think a good number of Achronim hold that way. Yeah, it makes sense. I think a good number of Achronim hold that way. Yeah. So The Eliyahu Rabba has a little bit of a different spin on it. The Eliyahu Rabba says, no, what's the difference between going to sleep in the sukkah and Hamapil? Hamapil, you say, on your comfortable bed, in your comfortable climate-controlled house. So there's a lot less of a concern that you're not going to be able to fall asleep in the house than there would be in the sukkah. In the sukkah, you're on some air mattress, it's freezing, there are bugs crawling on you, it's much less likely that you're going to be able to fall asleep in the sukkah than you... The concern is much greater in the sukkah than it is in your house. It's a pashta svar. Right? So it's a balabatish teretz, which is usually correct. Right? So he says that's what the difference is. Okay, but anyway, it seems la halacha that we don't... By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan also says that hamapil is the birchas HaShabbach. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan... You look at that Aruch HaShulchan, source number 5, he says it like that also. But what's the... La halacha. So Rabbi Cohen was hacking me last week that if you read the Mishnah Berurah carefully, Mishnah Berurah does make it sound like if you're going into a sukkah, there are certain lines of the Mishnah Berurah where he makes it sound like if you go into a sukkah that you would make it to sleep, that you would make a bracha of leishav sukkah. The way I read the Mishnah Berurah is he was quoting those who say it, and then he himself was disagreeing. Rabbi Cohen read the Mishnah Berurah differently. It seems, regardless of how you read the Mishnah Berurah, the minhag is not that way. That we don't make a bracha when we go to sleep in the sukkah. Maybe because we hold like Tosfos and the Rush and the significant group of Rishonim that say you shouldn't. But for whatever the reason is, we don't make a bracha when we sleep in the sukkah generally. Now, when it comes to... I'm going to skip around a little bit just because I want to cover enough... The wife thing is very interesting, but it's not nogea to you, so I think I'll skip the wife thing. It happens to be a very interesting discussion in halacha, of osik mitzvah maybe, but take a look later at the Mar Makomos, you'll be fascinated. What if you start sleeping in the sukkah and then it starts to rain, right? So it's also very pashta halacha. The Ramah in source number 23, Mishu Yashim Sukkah V'yardu G'shavim, starts to rain, Ein Tzoruch L'shar B'kdeshi Yiskalkal Tavshil. You don't have to start cheshbening how badly it's raining. Would that ruin my soup? Would it not ruin my soup? You don't have to do that. As soon as you feel a drop, inside. Right? You don't have to be in the sukkah anymore. That's what he says. You're okay eating in the rain. You're not okay sleeping in the rain. Meaning up to a point, you're okay eating in the rain. Up to the point where it would ruin your food. You're never okay sleeping in the rain. I happen to have had the experience that I was sleeping in the sukkah when I was single with my brother. It started raining and I slept right through it. My brother had to wake me up, tell me to come in. His question afterwards, should he have woken me up to tell me to come in? Is there any point in me being there? Okay, whatever, that's the Lubavitcher issue. But am I an idiot for staying in the sukkah, right? Someone who eats in the sukkah when it's raining, the Ramah says Nikra Hedya. So am I a fool for having... But it wasn't my fault, I was just sleeping through it. Okay, but... generally speaking, that's the rule. What about the first night of Sukkot? First night of Sukkot is always a little different, right? We do have rain in the forecast for tomorrow night, which is always a terrible slap in the face, according to the Mishnah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, and it's also a terrible inconvenience in terms of how to arrange your meal, because you got to do Kiddush and the Kazayas, but first you have to wait for it to stop, unless, perhaps you could say, if the forecast is that you know it's going to be going, you don't have to actually wait the hour for it to stop. Maybe we'll rely on that. But... So does it affect sleeping the first night? You have to eat the kazayis in the sukkah. So do you have to sleep also? So the Ritva says no. The first night also you're gonna be pater. If you look at the Ritva, it says lo mitzinu chilik b'yimei chag ben leil rishon l'shar yamim ela b'chiy v'achila. Since why? Why should it only be by the chiy v'achila, not by the chiy of sleeping? Davar pashut. What makes the first night different than all the other nights? Why? What makes it different? Tesvav. That's purely din and achila. So obviously it's only going to affect the chiv achila, it's not going to affect the chiv to sleep. Because the whole reason, the whole distinguishing characteristic of the first night is the achila that you learn from tezvav. So he says that by sleeping is vaday going to be different. The reason I mention this is that there's a fascinating story told in Harei Kedem. Sammy Goldsmith told me that in Rav Wilson's you weren't allowed to bring in a Harei Kedem. It's contraband, I'm not sure why. No idea what the issue is. It's a beautiful sefer, but in Harei Kedem it tells the story that it was once raining in Brisk or wherever the Rav was in Chaslavich on the first night of Sukkot, and they went and they had the Kazayis Rishon in the sukkah, and then after that they went inside the house and they went to sleep. You know, they finished resting the meal and they went to sleep inside the house because it was still pouring. Middle of the night, 2:00 in the morning, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wakes up the Rav. He's a little boy, 7-8 years old. He wakes him up, and he says, "Let's go back into the sukkah. It stopped raining." And the Rav, as a little boy, said to him, Mitzdayer, what are you talking about? I mean, you don't wake up a guy who's sleeping. Shulchan Aruch says, you don't wake up someone who's in the middle of a sleep to bring him back into a sukkah. A Mitzdayer is pata from sukkah. So Rav Moshe responded to him. He says, no. Meaning, the way the Rav said is better. He said, Manavshach, if you hold that a Mitzdayer is chayiv in sukkah, so I was ready, meaning he said, don't come back in the sukkah to sleep. You have to come back in the sukkah because you have to eat. You have to eat a kazayas in the sukkah. You have to eat your meal in the sukkah now. And then, mele, you're going to be awake and it's not going to be raining. Then you'll have to go back to sleep. But the Rav said, no, mimanavshach. If a mitzdayer is pata from sukkah, so then, I'm sorry, say the other way first. If a mitzdayer is chayiv in sukkah, so I was ready yotzei my kazayas with the achilut in the rain before. And if a mitzdayer is pata, I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. I'm mitzdayer. So manavshach, I'm pata. I think they say that he was like 7 years old when he said that svara at 3 a.m. when he was woken up. So the response was, Rav Moshe Salveitch said back to him, no. He says the shita that holds that a mitzta'er is pata from sukkah doesn't really hold that he's pata from sukkah. He holds that a mitzta'er is chayiv, it's just that there's no shame sukkah when it's raining. That when it's raining, it's not called a sukkah. So a mitzta'er is definitely chayiv in sukkah. It's just that you don't have a sukkah. So mele, you have nothing to do, so you gotta eat inside. So he says, I'm choshish for that cheetah that holds that a mitzvah is pater, and doesn't really hold a mitzvah is pater. Right? He holds that you're chayiv on Lila Rishon Tita Kazayas. You just couldn't do it because there was no sukkah before. Now there's a sukkah. So now you got to go eat the kazayas. But for sleeping alone, he wouldn't have woken him up. Right? That for sure, just for the eating. Yes. I would assume anything. Yeah, assume anything. Lila Rishon is always going to be different. And the last topic I wanted to talk about, although I'm not going to have time to really get into it, Rav Shlomo Zalman has an unbelievable chiddush about sleep in general. I wrote an article on this topic, a long article on this topic. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the back of Halicha Shlomo, he refers to it a little bit in the section on Hilchos Sukkah, but in the back of the Halicha Shlomo on Tefillah, he has a long, long essay where he tries to prove the following idea. He tries to prove that a person is sleeping as a din of a shota and is pata from mitzvahs. And a lot of nafkaminas. So he says, for instance, let's say you're sleeping, you have a guy sleeping in the sukkah and there's no room for the two of you. Is there anything wrong with dragging him out while he's sleeping and then going in and sleeping in the sukkah? Assuming you're dragging him to a safe place. Are you taking away his mitzvah at all? So Shlomo Zalman says, no, you're not taking away his mitzvah. Because he's sleeping now, he's pata from mitzvahs, he's a shota. The mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah is to go to sleep in the sukkah. It's not to sleep in the sukkah. Wild chiddush, no? It has nafkaminas all over halacha. Which gemara are you talking about? There are several gemaras. So you have by Gittin, you have one discussion, you have Baba Kama with Nezikin, you have a lot of gemaras, and you seem to get mixed messages from the gemaras. Shlomo Zalman brings several rayas against himself, and then he brings several rayas for him, so I'm not going to be able to get through them all. Just mention some of the highlights, I guess. One raya. What? That would be another nafkamina. You have to wake up for davening. Right? Every teenage kid, when his father woke him up, said, I want to sleep, according to this, is right. What? Sleeping with yichud. Right? You'll say, Rabbi Balsam said he came up with a chap once when the babysitter was home. If he just starts taking a nap while his wife was still home, even though knowing his wife's going to leave soon, once he's sleeping, he's pater. He doesn't have to worry about anything. He wouldn't rely on that. La halacha. What? Maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman holds you pater in everything. Your mama's shelter, you pater in everything. I'll give you a couple of the marmakomas. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a tshuva where he says that if a person sleeps with a woman while he's asleep, a person has bia with a woman during his own sleep, and impregnates her, he's not Mekayim Puravu. Because he's a shoka. Unbelievable, no? It's a wild tshuva. The Pri Yitzchak in the tshuva says that someone who's sleeping while he's wearing tefillin is not in violation of having a hesach hadas in his tefillin. Because he's pater. So say you can't sleep shami afiach, but it's going to be disrespectful to the tefillin, but it's not going to be hesach hadas. He has several rayas along this line. You know, ramifications, if you're sleeping and you're wearing a beggar of dalat kamfos that have no tzitzis, no reason to wake the guy up, tell him to remove it. Again, if you're sleeping in the sukkah, no reason not to pull the guy out of the sukkah. Where else? Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Salmas Chaim, says that you should wake up a friend who's sleeping on his stomach or on his back, because the Gemara in Brachas Yud Gimel says you're not supposed to sleep on your stomach or on your back. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, no reason to wake him up. Let him do whatever he wants. He's potter, as long as he went to sleep on his side. It's only a matter of how he went to sleep. There are lots of, again, I only gave myself 2 minutes for it. I have a 17-page article on it, if you're interested. It's on Yitora. You can find it there. But it's a very, very fascinating topic. It covers mamish. You can go through all the shas with this topic. It's a very geshmaka sugya. Pashlus is not like Rav Shlomo Zalman. Pashlus is, and Ravadia does not agree with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Ravadia has an arichus and chazon Ravadia on Sukkah, where he doesn't like this this idea of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay, that was some of the highlights of sleeping in the Sukkah. Yeah.
Someone falls asleep outside,
so good.
I mean, like, he's like taking a nap outside,
so good.
Right.
So there's an interesting discussion. The Lashon the Gemara, and the Rambam picks up on it, is that, let's say during the night, a person's sleeping and it stops raining, right? Or whatever. He wants to wake him up to bring him back, to tell him to go back in the Sukkah. Lashon the Gemara, and the Rambam picks up on this, is let him sleep for Amud HaShachar. It sounds like there are time frames. You say, okay, that's a normal sleep, and you have to let him get a normal sleep straight, because if you don't, then it's mitzayir. But once he's got his normal sleep straight, and now he's just being gluttonous, and he's sleeping past the Mudashachar, wake him up and get him out of there. Which maybe you could argue with an
end. Right? Not even in the case of it's raining. It's like someone who's like having to fall asleep. Like,
post can discuss what if someone falls asleep before Sukkot, right? And he's still sleeping when Sukkot starts. So I think they say you do have to wake him up. What? Rav Shlomo Zalman would say no for sure, right?
You have to wake him up even if you know he's
going to
go.
Oh, no. You're not going to wake him up. Not just stop him to torture him. He's going to. You just wake up, stand outside your parents' room, making the door open. Yeah. Somebody else wanted to say? Yeah. Okay.
Let's say, like, you know, yeah.